Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. It's time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space, in the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. We have Epic Wellness and Music Festival featuring some of the most profound healers and visionary artists. Check out the lineup at dharmaglow.com. We hope you will join us to take in this love, this community activation, because we needed it this time more than ever. So once again, that's dharmaglow.com. We will be seeing you very soon. Let's get into the episode. What's good, Dharma Glow fam? I'm here with my good friend Meg of Self Remembrance, and I'm excited to have her on because she's a super powerful being. I just remember the first time I came across her presence was at a cacao cafe that we all would frequent in San Diego called Maya Moon, and I saw a flyer for one of her events, and I just remember seeing her picture and being like, wow, she has a lot of presence in her being. And I ended up stopping by that event, and her friend that were putting it on, we were just holding this really wonderful container, and I got to know her, and she held space at one of the Dharma Glow events in San Diego, and that was really beautiful. So she has now embarked upon her own journey of leading people to that sort of energetic presence, and that's called self-remembrance. So I wanted to have her on to talk about it. So thanks for being here, Meg.
It's so good to be here. And thank you for that just like gorgeous memory of how we connected and where we're at now. So thank you. It's so good to be here.
Yeah. There's a lot of people doing the type of work that you're doing, that I'm doing, and everyone's going to resonate with different things. So not in a judgmental way, but there's certain people that just like ping you when you see them. You just, the frequency hits you and you're like, ah, I feel a certain level of depth or a certain level of this. And I knew I felt it right away, but then it was validated when I started listening to your podcast and heard a little bit about your story and what you had been through to gain that awareness of self. And I feel like that's a common thing for a lot of people, is having to go through some ordeals to really meet themselves in order to be able to show up this way for other people. I know that's a quick dive into your origin story, but I feel like it's such a powerful one, and I just want to have enough time to share whatever you want to share. What I like to say is people have 3 minutes and 33 seconds to tell their life story, and it's good to hear, oh, I was born here, but then these are the things that have brought me to this point. And however you want to do that, I'll leave that up to you.
Thank you so much. So what feels most alive to like first start this origin story is that I've always been an artist, and that's always the heart of who I am and how I show up in this world. I'm in this constant co-creative process with this life. And it started with the medium of creating art through painting and sculpture and clay and fiber. And I loved that way of expression. And that's what continues to come alive within me. The way that I approach life is in the way of creating as an artist. And I was actually in art school when a huge wave of transformation came over me, and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And this is a quote unquote autoimmune disease, and they don't understand why it comes or where it comes from. But I took it as an opportunity to dive really deeply into myself and into healing. And I was super active my entire life, playing sports and just really intense. And it just brought me into this whole other way of being. And I found practices like yoga and studied within that for over 10 years in different lineages and schools, and traveling to Bali and doing teacher trainings and all of these amazing things, which just ultimately brought me deeper and deeper into myself and deeper into the connection with my guides and the divine. And over time, this dis-ease became a teacher for me. There was no longer a lot of pain. And while there was sometimes in the physical body, rather, I just started to alchemize that pain into power. And I started to see dis-ease and MS as a teacher. And the more that I sat with that teacher, and what do we do when we sit with teachers? We listen. I just allowed the teacher of MS to guide me. And so teaching yoga ended up becoming something that I wanted to do full time. I was a graphic design artist at a company, and again, just not aligning with my body, not aligning with what I wanted to do. And I knew there was just more that I wanted to create in this life. And I opened myself up to that. And that's where Self-Remembrance was born. And there's been a few different iterations of Self-Remembrance, and it started with dis-ease and then continued to listen. I was like, oh, I don't have to talk about dis-ease in order to heal, in order to feel my power, in order to know that I'm in deep transformation. And that inner radiance then wanted to externalize itself. And so through the practice of wealth embodiment flow, which is a modality I also teach now and lead, it started to externalize through wealth and abundance, and not because of money, but because of our relationship that we transform with money and how we circulate wealth in this world. And now I'm in this completely different place as I continue to listen. But I would say that is the biggest piece that's really on my heart now, is that piece of listening. And when you listen, what you always end up arriving in is self-remembrance.
Amazing. That was such a, that might have been exactly 3 minutes and 33 seconds.
I did my best.
Yeah, that was perfect. I'm curious, from when you were diagnosed to now, how long has that been?
It's been 10, 11 years. Yeah.
And do you remember, like, going all the way back to the moment when that happened? Did you immediately snap into, I'm going to see this as a teacher? Was that your mindset out of the jump, or were you overwhelmed, or what was that time like?
Yeah, it was really intense, because I literally woke up one day and I couldn't see out of my left eye. Like, I'd gone blind in my left eye. And I went to, it was a lot of different doctors, a lot of different things. Like, it was very confusing. And then when you go, I'm very grateful for the Western medical system. And also when you go to try to figure out what's going on with you, there's a lot of fear that's instilled in that system. And even just getting a diagnosis, period, starts to put you into a box. And of course, like, my body started to heal and I received different treatments, and I'm grateful for that therapy that I received. But I was in a space of grieving, and that was really important. And I feel like that's such an important piece of healing, is grieving and being in the sadness and the pain and really sitting with that. It's actually a big piece of my work and how I facilitate transformation. But it's, we can't stay there. We can't get stuck in that, because we don't go anywhere. And life just feels like a prison. And that's how I felt, like my own body. I felt trapped in my own body for a long time. And I, in this body that I knew my whole life, and then it just literally changed overnight. And so I just didn't want to live like that. And I just felt this sense. I was like, there's got to be more than this. And so I think even way back then, when I wasn't even super spiritual or connected or tuned in, there was something within me that just knew and trusted and surrendered little bit by little bit.
Amazing. And on top of your internal knowing that there was more than just the grief and all that, did you have any mentors or guides at that time that were like pointing you in the right direction to go on this self-healing journey?
A lot of, yeah, my first ever yoga teacher, her name's Sarah Cook. I just going to her class and just her presence overall and her connection to the practice was so inspiring for me. And just to be in her presence inspired me. And so I would show up every single week and I just kept myself devoted to that. And yeah, the people that were around me, because I was in art school, were highly creative. And so my art ended up becoming this really beautiful, like spiritual embodiment practice within itself. Mm-hmm. Like I just remember it being in like my studio and with my teachers and having the spaciousness and the safety to talk about what I was moving through my work. That was always something that was present for me. And to be able to have a medium to express it through that creation of art, whatever the medium, was so powerful. And then, yeah, it just kept me going. The support system I had at that time, like my friends, my family, like they were huge inspirations and like mentors and I didn't even realize. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think art school and being around creative people that are expressing the inner world and the soul through their art is like the best possible scenario for that.
Yeah, totally.
And for me, art is about our personal relationships with Source and how mm-hmm. Source moves through us and how it's interpreted through us. And obviously that's affected by all the things we go through. And then when we get to look at our art, like maybe your art from that time period can really take you back to the emotions and the things you were experiencing at that time. And I think that's the beauty of art. It's like the soul externalized. And outside of the work you do, you still create art. I don't know what your medium is. Did you say painting?
Yeah, it's the traditional sense of creating art now is, it's not as close to me. Like I haven't been painting as much or working with clay. And I feel like Self-Remembrance is my art studio. It is the gallery. And that is how I've always run the business, which can feel wild because as an artist, you have a wild spirit, but it's something that just feels like the channel now that I create through, not even just through offerings, but through the podcast episodes and the audio and even like the ceremonies that I hold for myself every day before I enter into the work feels like art to me. So it's like always a living, breathing thing in my life, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally feel that with your creations, your graphics of the things you create and the flyers and the way you do your stories, it feels very artful and there's a very unique and powerful energy around it. And I think that's probably what magnetizes people to want to work with you. Mm. And you were saying that you do ceremony with yourself every day. I would love to hear what that looks like.
Yeah, it started way back when it was like more for the physical care of my body of like, all right, let's do the yoga every day and the meditation every day and allowing that devotional practice to really guide me into deeper health and well-being. And now in this present moment, the type of MS I have, I go through times of remission and relapse. I've been in remission for almost 3 years and like literally my health, I've never been healthier. And so I know that just those early days of that devotional practice of just coming to the mat and moving and breathing was crucial. And the way that it's evolved now is more just artful. There's song now that I dive into of prayer and singing, and I just got a medicine drum. So I'm starting to like tune in with and allowing the incense or the Palo Santo that I'm using to cleanse my energy and sit in prayer and be with intention. Or some days it's like wild embodiment practices where I'm like screaming and like flailing around with like my swords and things like that. So it's really what my body is calling for in the moment, but I have altars all around my house. My house feels like a sanctuary that I'm just always dropping into ceremony within. To me, ceremony is life. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like that's the beauty of these acute things that happen in our lives is they force us to be present with the discomfort until we find a way to remedy it. And it's going to be unique because we all have unique acute issues that require unique solutions. And I feel like that's the exploration of life that we're here to experience, is to experience how to be in relationship with self so that we can be hopefully in that state of bliss and heaven on earth, right? So that's amazing. You've been on this decade plus long journey of refining your relationship with self and incorporating your art into your life and your everyday practices and your offerings. And what are your offerings as far as how you support people to become more connected with themselves?
Yeah. So this is actually a very pivotal moment because it's shifting, but my work with self-remembrance, the foundation that it's always been has been in and through the body. So deep, powerful embodiment work where we're really going into the place that feels painful, that feels challenging, and not to exacerbate it, but to hold space for it. And what I learned about having a dis-ease is that the physical manifestation of pain or discomfort or symptom in the body is because of an emotional traumatic experience that the body is still holding on to. And the way that it's expressing and communicating to us is through the uncomfortable dis-ease or symptom or whatever it may be. And so we go into these embodiment ceremonies where we're going down and into that to listen and hold space and allow the body and the vocal expression to express and fully allow that part of ourselves to come online and be seen and be heard. And then after that, it's always returning back into safety and regulating and coming back into this like neutral space within the nervous system, and then starting to come up and out from that. It's okay, we've held space for this. And how do we begin to rise from that? And I feel like that's such a beautiful metaphor, even just for my own journey of, for a long time, I felt like my story had to be defined by my pain, and it's powerful for sure. But there's so much more to coming up and out and being on that healed space and that abundant space. Yeah, the different modalities in which I do this work within, the, I would say like the faces of them have changed, but it's always been embodiment. It's always about in and through the body. It's always been ceremonial. And I'm about to step into a pretty big chapter where I'm really owning that and like really claiming that. And it feels amazing.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love hearing that. And it's such a blessing that we get to have these types of services available to us, because I feel like our parents' generation didn't have people offering these types of things. And I just moved back home. And part of why I moved back home was to come back and share some of the wisdom that I've accrued in California with my family and with my community, and some of the spiritual knowledge and practices and stuff like that. And it's a good opportunity for me to practice patience, because just like you, I've been on this journey for 15 years. So the things that seem strange to me 15 years ago, or maybe even beyond, what I'm trying to share with my family now. So for those that are curious and maybe not quite as far along, you don't have to understand everything. It's more of a feeling. It's like, if you feel that someone is the person to be your guide, just like you felt with your first yoga teacher, you were just magnetized by their presence, then I would say pursue that feeling and see what's there, explore it. And the type of guidance and space holding that Meg is talking about is similar almost to a personal trainer, but just on a different dimension of experience, right? Mm-hmm. Because you could try to exercise by yourself and you probably would do fine, but if someone is there pushing you to go further and correcting your form and just allowing you to surrender to just being led, you can go. And I feel like that's what this type of work is an offering for, and unique to this type of work. If you're going in to explore like root traumas or root causes of dis-ease, that may be a very tender area where you just need to fully like be immersed in the feeling of it so that it can be released. And it sounds like what you're doing in those situations is like holding the container for the person to just fully.
Yeah, exactly. I feel through the cultivation of my own practice and through sitting with many teachers and teachings, I've learned how to hold a really grounded, safer, braver space, and that people feel that. And I receive that feedback a lot. And I feel like that's really important when doing this work with healing, because we're not just like going in a little bit. At least when you work with me, we're going all the way in. And that's even support I still receive today. I just went through an experience over the last 6 months where I had a suppressed memory come through, a pretty traumatic memory come through. And I was like, whoa, this is like huge. I was like, and I don't want to hold this by myself. So I invested in healers who I knew could hold that safer space, that healing space, that expansive space. And it's just a process of uncovering and remembering. And once you start, it's just a weaving that just is always unraveling itself. Like, it's just like you get deeper and discover more and more. And it's really powerful and beautiful. And I could go on, but this healing work to me is like everything. It's how we're really alive in this time.
Amazing. I 100% agree. That's what we're here to do in this age. So outside of this deep healing work that was spurred by this transformational messenger from beyond, what do you like to do in your free time? Like on a Saturday, if you have free time, how are you spending your time?
Yeah. This was like, whenever you start your own business, this is like a constant relearning of like how to just go and have fun.
Totally. Always working.
Yeah.
Having fun, but also working.
Exactly. It's your work, but you love it so much. So the way that I best detach myself from that is being with the earth and really creating that connection with the earth. And being in San Diego, it's accessible to do that here. Going to the beach with friends and just enjoying and going for a swim. My husband and I also have a camper. We go out to the mountains or the desert and we just are there with the earth. And it's just one of my favorite ways to be and enjoy and doing that with community that I love and who I'm in connection with just makes it all the better too, whether it be friends or my family here or someone I'm just meeting. I would say right now, that's my favorite thing to do.
No Netflix binging for you?
Sometimes, for sure. Yes. I feel like it's healthy. It's healthy to binge Netflix. Like, it's a part of it. And I feel definitely for those of us who are on a spiritual path, there can be some like association or like guilt or shame around like doing those very human things. But I feel like it's really important. It's so important for our integration.
Yeah. I work on that all the time. Is I binge watch shows, but not holding it against myself when I do that or indulge in food, certain foods or whatever. I'm just like, you know what? At this point, we're doing this. We try to live our lives in this way, like 85% of the time. And this other time, we're just going to let it go and relax.
Yeah. We're human. Yeah. And we got to honor that. We got to honor our humanity and just all spectrums of it, the full spectrum of it.
100%. So if you were to project 20, 30 years into the future, and you think about you've done self-remembrance and I'm sure many other things, many other evolutions of how you choose to express your soul. What do you want your legacy to be?
That's such a powerful question. I, at the core and the root of it, I want to be remembered for really caring and loving people. And people feel that through the work that I do and the service that I provide. And a legacy of just like an enchantment of life and full-blown like expression. And that I really walked the path as like the deepest that I could possibly go of self-remembrance. Yeah, we just because we arrive here as these like little babies, and there's so much in us, like the soul that's in us is so like, whew. And as we go through this life, there's just so many things that happen, experiences we have in conditioning and programming. And when we can get to this point where we're like, okay, wow, I remembered, okay, like this layer of myself and this layer and like this layer. And it's just, we can just keep going. And yeah, if we can close out like our legacy with just like, yeah, I was the most embodied I could possibly be. I was the most expressed version of myself I could possibly be. Like, that's pretty epic.
I think that's extremely epic. And I love that it was centered around the degree to which you were authentic with yourself, because ultimately that's the only thing we can control. And what happens in the reflections of our friends, family, and the world just happens. But I feel like that is the invitation that we give to other people to also be their most authentic, fully expressed selves.
Mm-hmm.
So bravo. Absolutely. For that.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you would like to share that feels alive?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes the question that arrives is like, where do I start, or how do I know, or anything like that. And I feel like it ties back in so beautifully to what you were saying earlier around the feeling and listening to that feeling. And in this moment, I'm in a really deep space of listening. And it's a listening, and it's stepping forward with that listening. So it's inspired action as well. And allowing ourselves to slow down enough where we start to see like the magic that's like happening all around us. And I feel like that's been one of the greatest gifts of really stepping into my own work and creating my own timeline of what I'm doing and where I'm going and things like that, is I'm able to see the magic that's around me of all of my guides and how they're all like sending me like butterflies and two, 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 and just, and things I like hear or just I'll see. And it's just like this frequency of communication that when we're paying close enough attention, it's all around us. So the place of where do I start or how do I do this or anything like that, it's slowing down enough to really listen. And from that place of listening, taking the inspired action, even when it feels like really scary too, like in that moment of your life, oh God, what am I about to do? It's like this courageous, this like courage that I feel like is just so powerful to live within and walk within. And as you walk that path of courage and listening, and you'll end up creating a life that you never thought you would create. I never thought I would be right here with everything that's around me and in my life. And I'm just like, whoa, this is crazy and wild and beautiful.
Yeah, the soul's true path is beyond what the mind can comprehend.
Yeah, totally.
Or even envision.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a beautiful invitation for people. And I think it's a great combination of the feminine and masculine energies. And the way I was receiving what you were saying is it's like a three-step process, the way I think of it. And the first part is the listening, which is the receptivity or the feminine aspect. And the second part is taking inspired action based on what you heard. And then the third part is also feminine, because I feel like there's a degree of surrender. Like you have to take action, but we're co-creating with the universe. So not all on us. We have to be courageous enough to get the energy moving forward, but also know that the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour and it's spinning around the sun at 66,000 miles per hour and we're not doing anything. So yeah, the universe has got us.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, amazing. I think everyone here probably can recognize why Meg is such a magnetic being. She's got a powerful presence, and I'm glad that she came on to share it with us today. And if you are feeling called to connect with her and explore her work or She's going to tell you about it right now.
Yeah. Instagram portal is where you can find a lot of my creations and yeah, just like what I'm up to in my life. Like I said earlier, like self-remembrance is just like a huge art studio gallery for me. And Instagram is just one of the ways in which I communicate it all through. So at self-remembrance. And then I too have a podcast, which is super fun. I love the medium of the voice and it's so cool. So that's also the self-remembrance podcast. And through these different channels, you'll land on my website, self-remembrance.com, which is where I have all my offers. And yeah, tides are turning right now. So a lot of my work has been centered around wealth and abundance codes. And it's been so freaking epic and CEO vibes. I'm like, like my Capricorn was loving it. And yeah, just what has been calling me and what I've been remembering is that I'm a medicine woman at the end of the day. And so stepping more deeper and deeper into that, yeah, I'm excited to facilitate this next chapter of really being in the work of deep ceremony, of becoming deeper allies with plant medicine and facilitating that through my work as well. And we'll just see what else comes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your deepening into the journey. And also congratulations to anyone who's listening, who's feeling inspired to work with Meg and is going to do that soon. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tijan. Dharma Glow is so dope. And I'm just always rooting for you guys. And it was amazing to be a part of the experience when it was here in San Diego. So I'm always celebrating the work that y'all are doing.
You're part of it. Everyone who has contributed to Dharma Glow is part of the family. So thank you for your contribution.
Yeah.
And the vision. So what Meg was referencing was the events in San Diego, which is where Dharma Glow was birthed. And we're soon going to have our first event in Atlanta with Londrell and Lizzie Jeff, which I'm super excited about. But eventually I would like there to be Dharma Glow chapters all over the world in different communities where the ethos and the vitality and the energy of Dharma Glow is just existing there. So people can go and plug in on a weekly or monthly basis. And if they go to a different city, they know that there's a place where they can find like-minded souls and energy. So the vision is expanding. And so thank you for contributing your magic to it.
Yeah, I'm holding that vision high. It's going to happen for sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fam, that's this week's episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week. Much love. All right, fam. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com and stay connected. Spread the word, because what we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.